As the Florida legislature copes with a $2.5 billion budget deficit, lawmakers have proposed slashing $1 billion out of the human services budget. Among the programs on the cutting list include $170 million from the Medically Needy program, which pays medical bills for people in need of transplants or catastrophic illness and cannot qualify for Medicaid. Also on the chopping block would be plans to end vision, hearing, and dental care for 46,000 seniors covered by Medicaid, and eliminating hospice care for 8,000 terminally ill Medicaid patients. And the Department of Children and Families is on the list to lose 700 full-time jobs. Dan Gelber is the House Democratic leader from Miami Beach. He calls the proposed cuts immoral.
Unless there is an outcry from Key West to Pensacola, it may happen here. I mean, I think Tallahassee has almost lost its sense of humanity right now. I don't know how you tell thousands of senior citizens they can't have dentures or hearing aids. I don't know how you tell poor people that they can't have hospice care. I don't know how you tell seniors in nursing homes that they just will have to do without baths at night, you know, certain nights of the week because of the staffing ratios. It's really tremendously unfair, and it's especially unfair when you consider that the last thing my colleagues are going to look at to cut are some of these ridiculous tax loopholes they've given some of the most powerful multinational corporations, you know, at the expense of really everyday people.
Well, let's talk about that, Dan Gelber. How would you go about trying to get the budget straightened out here without doing this massive cutting, which your Republican colleagues are talking about doing?
Well, the first thing I do is I protect children and seniors and homeowners, because remember, any of the health care problems we have, a lot of them are going to end up in county hospitals that are going to result in property tax increases for everybody. So the first thing I would do is protect that group, and my priorities would be to go after some of the ridiculous loopholes. You know, for instance, in Florida, we allow multi-state corporations a huge loophole, and by allowing them essentially to assign the profits earned in Florida to one of their other subsidiaries in another state, thereby not allowing them to pay their fair share like Florida corporations do. If we eliminated that tax loophole alone, we'd save $400 million and handle lots of the cuts that they're suggesting in health care. So I think there's a lot of things you can do if your priorities are, I think, consistent with what Floridians would expect.
When Democrats talk about getting rid of some of these tax loopholes, we hear from the Republicans, you just want to give a tax increase to the Floridians.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, the one I just talked about are for the largest corporations in the world who earn profits here at their, you know, at some of their stores here. You know, these are companies that have hundreds of stores in Florida, and they're just assigning their profits that they earn here elsewhere. A Florida-only corporation pays their fair share, but we allow multi-state corporations a free ride. By the way, that loophole I'm referring to, California, Texas, and New York recently closed, and they're among 21 states that have closed the loophole in the last decade. So this is, you know, this is fiscally prudent to put multi-state companies on the same playing field as Florida-only corporations, and if you can at the same time recapture revenue that you're losing to other states, it's good policy, and obviously it's a bad idea to hurt seniors and children the way we are.
We're speaking with Dan Gelber. He's the House Minority Leader in Tallahassee out of Miami Beach. Dan Gelber, it seems like you, the Democrats and Republicans in the House, seem to be on totally different wavelengths here. Ray Sansom, the House Budget Chairman, was told yesterday of some of the comments you made in a news conference, and he said, quote, "It's very disappointing that the minority leader who preached bipartisanship as a hallmark has turned to the most partisan and divisive minority leader I've experienced in 20 years. He's creating animosity and divisiveness. I've offered a hand to them. That's not like Dan." Your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't know that apparently he didn't listen to our press conference. The only thing we mentioned were the actual cuts and what they're doing to people. I don't think that's particularly partisan. He may not want to hear about the fact that their cuts to the medically needy will mean that someone who gets a transplant will be denied the medicine they need to keep their new organ in their body, or that they're, you know, he may not want to hear that that, you know, 10,000 senior citizens are going to not have dentures next year because of these cuts, or that public schools are going to have to eliminate after-school programs and field trips because of these cuts. I don't think they're partisan. I like Ray a lot, too, but I think it's interesting he didn't say a single word about what I was saying. He just chose to say, it's very partisan. You can always judge the strength of somebody's argument by if they actually respond to the argument or they simply choose to complain about the messenger or make something. So I think it's pretty obvious they have no retort to what we're saying, so they've decided to just claim it's partisan. I don't think it's partisan. I think, in fact, I mean, we're saying they should use a revenue that they're not willing to use. Guess who else has said that? The governor of the state of Florida. He suggested that the rainy day fund ought to be used. We have said that as well. So, you know, this is not a partisan battle. This is about people. And maybe my colleagues across the aisle need to start thinking about people a little bit more when they craft these oppressive budgets.